And then afterwards, stay with us for On the Heels, our post-game show, hosted, as always, by Paul Connell. And Paul Connell joins us here in the studio right now for a little bit of a preview of the season to come. Paul, good to be with you. How about them Heels?
It's nice to be back, and it's always so much fun to have the last word.
Yeah.
Anybody
can
tell you that. It's awesome. So our round-trip coverage, of course, starts with countdown to kickoff. Everybody heads down to Charlotte, and then we'll see what remains to be seen here revised edition of the Mack Brown era and see how he comes back.
How certain slash uncertain are you about how good a team this is going to be?
It's incredibly uncertain.
Yeah.
It is absolutely popcorn in the pan. And, you know, so with pundits and prognosticators and other press morons like us, it's what you, and even people who know something, the idea that people come to is, well, let's look back at kind of a statistical and personnel comparison of last year's team on either side of the ball and as it opposed to the oppositional, and let's just stop right here.
Yep.
Because you absolutely cannot compare in any way, shape, or form this Carolina team this year, even to a player, you know, a running back like Michael Carter, Strobridge and Crawford on defense. You can't do that because it's an entirely different mentality. It's an entirely different system. It's going to be an entirely different energy. And you hope that there's a continuity and a composure and a dedication and focus on just fundamental execution that will not make that important. Because, and the most important thing to look at, when Larry Fedora came in here 7 years ago, look at what he inherited, okay? This is two totally different teams. Mm. If you look at what he inherited, you know, just by virtue of the circumstances in which he inherited, the lineup was stacked. He had a quarterback. He had a dual-threat running game. He had receivers. He had a tight end. He had defense. Biggest thing he had was he had offensive and defensive linemen. When Larry Fedora came in, University of North Carolina was known in many circles as Lineman University. Mm-hmm. At one point, just prior to Fedora's entry, we had the most active lineman in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing to talk about because it's a building block. You got linemen, running backs come. You got linemen, quarterbacks come. You get the quarterback and the running backs, okay, the receivers that come. It is a building block that you cannot ignore. You look here at the last 2 years and what Mack Brown has had to come in and, you know, engage and revitalize. No quarterback. A running game in, you know, tatters and disarray. No continuity. No dedication to fundamentals. And the key is, and you heard Mack talk about this about a month ago, is maybe less, he said, we still don't have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And for a head coach to say that, and quite frankly have the huevos to say that with his experience and knowing what he's tasked with here, I really give a tip of the cap there because it's so important. And his experience leads him to, you know, be candid and say, no, we don't have an identity. And that identity is going to be determined by how we perform and the responses that we make, you know, on the field and to our opposition and the responses we make to our own failures, foibles, and successes.
Yeah. So we're going to talk with Debbie Stroman next hour, and she's going to talk about the role of the quarterback. And we came right up to the 11th hour before Mack made the decision on Sam Howell. But now he's made the decision on Sam Howell. Is that going to lead to the identity down the road?
I think it certainly helps. And, you know, and again, look, I've always been a fan of the statement that, if you have a quarterback controversy or if you have multiple quarterbacks, what that means is you don't really have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that for a couple of seasons. But, you know, you have to pick a horse.
Yeah.
And he did. And he looked and he said, you know what, based on, you know, everything I'm seeing from leadership quality to chemistry to attitude to leadership on and off field to just simple athleticism and the ability to execute what I believe, you know, our offensive philosophy is, here's our guy. We're going with Hal. And you know what? You put your chips in the center of the table and you go, here, you know, I'm in. This is what I'm going with. And then let everything else fall away. And you let, you let people react to that how they will. But you commit and you dedicate to your decision. And then you build on it. And if it doesn't work out or it needs some tweaking, then you'll tweak. But that is our guy, and that's important. You know, and there's been a lot of focus, you know, Aaron, on Mack Brown. And certainly, look, he's the David Letterman of this process, you know. He's going to run the show. He's going to, you know, do the opening monologue. He's going to sit at the desk and everything.
Throw his pen out the window.
Exactly, right. But, you know, what's really, really important to remember is this guy hasn't coached on the sidelines in a number of years. Mm-hmm. And every 2-3 years, the game changes. Philosophy changes, kids change, you know, everything changes. But what doesn't change is fundamental execution, fundamental football, the fundamental baseline needs of a team and attitude, discipline on and off the field. And we saw some, you know, some varying degrees of, you know, inappropriate of that the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it was a symptom of what was of a deeper problem. But that's the thing that he brings to the table while, you know, he's gearing up and getting back into the intricacies of, you know, of how the game has changed. But the two guys that are really most important tomorrow, one's Phil Longo, mm-hmm. who's the offensive coordinator, because how's he going to run this offense? And what's his dedication and commitment to the fundamentals of the running game going to be? Because he has an inexperienced line up front. He's got a, you know, relatively inexperienced center. He has two experienced offensive linemen, but he's got a freshman quarterback, got some semblance of a running game. If this doesn't go well right away, does he panic? Does he go to the air? Does he go, it's a process, keep working it. And I have faith in my offensive line. I have faith in the system. I have faith in these guys who have worked so hard during the offseason. Let's just keep pounding. Let's see what happens here and not worry about, is this a big win or is this a big loss? Is this a success based on what we're able to accomplish? And are we better than we were, you know, before we had an opposition? And then the other guy, and, of course, is on the other side of the ball, and that's Jay Bateman. Mm-hmm. I think this is a steal of a hire to get this guy from Army. And the reason is when Mac takes over, the philosophy on defense and just in general, the linemen in general in the Fedora area, you know, wanted smaller, faster, stronger, you know, the triathlete types, you know, and okay, that's fine, but we're playing in the ACC and the ACC is chasing the SEC and size still matters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's still got to be some protein there up front. So, but in the ACC, especially with the University of North Carolina, you're going to play with athletes on the line and a defense that are maybe a little bit undersized, at least starting out, and they are now, a little bit undersized. Maybe they're not the fastest. Maybe they're not the quickest. Maybe they're not, you know, the premium guys. So you have to play a strategy-based defense. Well, Jay Bateman's been at Army. Mm-hmm. The biggest guys in the country, the fastest guys in the country,
they're not going to Army. Yep.
Especially in the last 10 years when if you go to a service academy and you raise your hand, you are not going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You're going to serve.
Yeah.
And that plays a part. But his ability to succeed in that Army program and that Army defense is so critical to what we're going to do at the University of North Carolina, because you have a young group and they are going to have to play like a team and they are going to have to gel and there's going to have to be chemistry and they're going to have to be players that step out and do exceptional things. And he's going to have to lead and foster that, because really the only two, the only two highly experienced leadership guys you have are Jason Strobridge and Aaron Crawford. They have 42 starts between them. This is your leadership. They're going to have to get it done. Tim Cross, the assistant coach there, he's going to have to, they're going to have to be his voice on the field. How are they going to do? What are they going to do? It's really going to be exciting. But again, strategy-based defense. And it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. I forget what Boxer says. Yeah, everybody has a plan until they get hit.
Yeah.
you come in with a plan. Everybody's got a plan right up until the point you get hit. And then, and so it's a matter of just fundamental execution and, you know, keeping this game tight, doing the things that we know we can do. And now you're going to go back all the way to Hal at quarterback. Mm-hmm. What are you going to ask him to do? Just ask him to do the things that he can do. Don't ask him to win the game for you. Mm. Just say, son, don't lose it.
You were saying that last year with Chaz Surratt, weren't you?
I'm not asking you to win it.
Yep.
Just don't lose it. You don't have to make my life easier. Just don't make it harder. You know, and then the thing that always comes back to me, and it does every year, is my co-host for On the Heels, which again takes place about 45 minutes after the final whistle blows. Mm. And remember this, we accept calls. In fact, we encourage calls.
Yes.
And we want people to call in. Tell us what you think, especially tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Andy Chakos, who has a long history of both playing and breeding football players and, and mentoring, all manner of athletes, is fond of saying, check the variables. Mm-hmm. Will Muschamp at South Carolina, this is his deepest team in years. He's got a quarterback with 32 starts in Jake Bentley, who's a senior. He's got running backs. He's got receivers. He has, you know, they're favored by 10. And the state of their program is, you know, entrenched and solid, and he pretty much knows what to expect. His only variable is, well, how well are we going to execute?
Mm-hmm.
Totally different over the North Carolina end is they have so many variables: quarterback, receivers, chemistry, defense, running game. You know, how's everything going to gel together? So when people say, "Will University of North Carolina win this game?" I mean, 9 out of 10 times, you got to go, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, the odds are no. You're probably not going to win this. But if the success of this game in the fan base and in the followers and the team itself is based on the win or the loss, we've already lost it.
Yeah.
It's got to be based on execution, right. Fundamental execution, chemistry. And at the end of this thing, is it going to be close enough to where we have a shot and somebody has the opportunity to make an exceptional play? And do we stay within ourselves? I'm really excited about Carolina football this year because I love process.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of a really exciting one.
What's your gut feeling? There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of questions, a lot of variables, a lot of uncertainty. 5 games into the season, what does your gut tell you we're going to be?
5 games into this season? I'd like to say, when's our Clemson game?
I have no idea.
I know that five is magical, and I wasn't looking at my.
A random number.
I think the first.
It's September 28th.
The first 4 games of the season are critical.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do against Miami? What are you going to do? What are you going to do against App State? What are you going to do in South Carolina? And of course, everybody's looking at Clemson, and they all look at Clemson. Hey, look, we could have tremendous fortune and poise and catch this USC team sleeping tomorrow and come out 1-0. We go 1-0 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We go into Clemson with zero losses.
Yeah,
because despite the 1 year advantage in lack of fluidity and kind of baseline competence that Miami has, I think we're better than Miami. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be fine there. I think there's an absolute opportunity if we can get past South Carolina, and it would be an upset, and it would be a hell of a building block because we haven't won an opener in like 5 years.
Right.
You know, it would be a tremendous opportunity for us to springboard this program, and certainly, you know, the fan base, certainly the Carolina faithful have embraced this change. They've embraced this new philosophy, and there's a lot of hope in the potential that exists in Mac Brown's return.
Yeah. And it's Wake after that, and App after that, and then Clemson.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's the Wake one I was throwing in there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it absolutely – look, we could be 1-4. We could be 4-0.
Yeah.
We really, really could. And we're going to find out based on the reaction to first punch tomorrow. What's this thing look like at the half? If this is a 3-point game at the half, if I'm South Carolina, I'm scared to death because I'm like, how are we not steamrolling these guys right out of the locker room? Neutral field, we've got all the experience. You know, they've got guys that are still wearing name tags because they don't know each other. You know, a couple guys met on the bus on the way down.
Right.
How are we not blowing these guys right out of Bank of America Stadium?
Yeah.
And if you're Carolina, you go, you know what? We're down three. We're up three. We're close. Whatever. Let's just keep doing what we're doing and grind these guys out because we have the youth and exuberance, and we have the young experience that that we might need to pull this out.
3:30 is kickoff time. Coverage on WCHL begins at 12:30 tomorrow with the InsideCarolina.com countdown to kickoff presented by University Ford. And, of course, stay with us after the game for On the Heels, wrapping it up, as always, every single Carolina football season. Paul Connell, thank you so much.
Oh, so excited. Thanks, Aaron.